11 o'clock hour of Wildia Tausch begins now. We've got trivia coming up, during which Jesse needs to pull the winner. Did you bring your supplies?
No, Hunter's going to do it. Hunter's going to do it back in the studio.
I'm always torn on this kind of thing because part of me knows that you don't like to do extra work. At the same time, you have trouble trusting people when you do delegate responsibility.
It is really
and then if they don't
spot,
do
yeah.
the job that you really want them to, you criticize
conundrum.
Them publicly.
This is a big honor for Hunter, too, because the winner of last week's Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf, will get our last Vortex swag bag available. This is the last one from Vortex from last week.
And we'll have a new prize pack from a new partner.
Yes, coming soon. Coming soon.
Wow.
Very exciting.
So, Tausch, last season, I made a lot of comps. You criticized them all.
Not all of them.
They turned out to be pretty close to being on the mark on all.
Pretty good with his comps last.
I'm sorry. Xavier McKinney is not Charles Woodson yet. Like, get off that. He's not.
Started pretty good.
He had a great start.
He had 8 interceptions last year, the most the Packers have had from one player since Charles Woodson in 2009 when he was the defensive player of the year.
Christian Watson had more receiving touchdowns since Randy Moss his rookie year. Whoa, he's Randy Moss. Like, come on, give it a beat here before you start throwing those.
He was first team All Pro, Packers' first defensive back to earn first-team All-Pro selection since Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson supported the comp, but again, that's fine. You can disagree. You're entitled.
You want to crown him, crown him. I think Xavier McKinney's a good player, but I'm not putting him in Charles Woodson's league.
I'm not
yet.
Putting him in the Hall of Fame
You
either.
Just did.
When you say someone is similar,
Charles Woodson did it. Charles Woodson did it.
If you
last
had,
one since Charles
if you,
Woodson
if,
did it.
If you had 11:06 on your Wednesday.
All right, who are your other cousins? Listen.
Was wishing that we had a cousin sub again.
Listen, I think your comp on that, Xavier McKinney had a great year. No doubt about it.
I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame. Okay. I'm looking for similarities.
All right.
My comp of Tucker Kraft and Chewy.
Yeah.
That they do everything as a tight end. They block, they catch, they run after the catch. Chewy and Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft has the potential to be better than him. He hasn't been to 3 Pro Bowls like Chewy was.
I think Chewy could kip like him?
But he's more.
Can Chewy kip?
I don't not Maybe.
Tuck
he's
is a
mountain
he's a
of a man.
Now. He is a kipper.
I would have never said Luke Musgrave is like Chewy because Luke Musgrave is working on his blocking. He is not a multifaceted tight end. But there's a similarity there. The Evan Williams to Micah Hyde one is my personal favorite since he watched video of Micah Hyde, and Micah Hyde saw the comparison. So now I have another one for you after watching the start of camp.
Pretty good comps.
All right.
And this is a bold one, and this is high praise, even though he became largely unpopular with the fan base after he departed. Matthew Golden.
Don't do it.
And Greg Jennings.
Ooh.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Very smooth in and out of their breaks, runs really good routes. Now, he didn't run a great route on the interception on Saturday night that Jordan Love threw that it appeared he either stopped or got bumped, but he didn't keep fighting downfield, and Carrington Valentine had an interception. He is faster than Greg Jennings was. Greg Jennings did not have a 4.29 40, so it's not a perfect comp. But they're both about the same size, 5'11". They're both strong. Greg Jennings... Again, I think people forget how good he was because he was kind of a dink after he left. And he would admit that maybe how he handled things was not ideal. But I see that, and I'll say this. I went into camp saying, you know what? Matthew Golden's a rookie. I've seen a lot of great receivers come through here. It's hard to be great right away. I'm still not willing to say he's going to be great right away. But I'm going to say he looks pretty encouraging to me. And maybe he can have a greater impact as a rookie than I was anticipating. He's such a smooth athlete. He's got really good hands, which obviously was also an issue for these guys. Like, I'm not crowning him, but I'm always looking for guys. Like I think, you know, the Randall Cobb, Jaden Reed, that's a bit of a force. They're both short. They both play the in the slot a lot, but I'm not sure that there's as many similarities there. This one, though, I feel pretty good about. Having played with Greg, is this encouraging for you to hear when I say something like this?
That you say he could be the next Greg Jennings. Greg Jennings was a great player. I think Greg Jennings would have probably been a Hall of Fame player if he stayed his career in Green Bay. He was at that point, and obviously things went south. We heard Greg on our show and other shows told the story of the beginning of his last season as a Packer. Things just got haywire, and it didn't.
You know, he always leaves out of that story that they offered him a contract that was going to pay him $12 million a year, and he said, unless it's going to be $15 million a year, don't bother talking to me anymore.
Yeah.
And so they stopped talking to him, and then he was mad that they didn't talk to him about the contract.
Well, it's his story to tell. I'm going to tell that part of it. You can tell that part. Okay. Greg Jennings was a great player here. And
no doubt.
When you mentioned and make that because you don't like virality, that's a statement that a lot of people are going to look at and say, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. Matthew Golden has been publicized and loved from the jump because of the draft being in Green Bay and because of how Mark Murphy did it in the last draft and because there is a need for someone to emerge as that guy. I think Packer fans would be more than happy if he is the Greg Jennings from 09 to 12.
Sure.
That ain't going to be long enough.
Agreed.
I think you can make these comps and you can do. Greg Jennings was smooth. You're right. I can remember a slant pass he caught against the San Diego Chargers and took it to the house late in the game where we were behind when I think it was Phillip Rivers quarterbacking for him, and we ended up beating the Chargers at Lambeau. Greg Jennings was always you didn't feel it because he was maybe a little smaller, but impact play after impact play, and that is what Brian Gutekunst is hoping for when he made that pick.
What is realistic to forget the comp. What's realistic to expect from him, though? I mean, given what they have at wide receiver. Like, that's the other part of this is I don't know how those puzzle pieces are going to fit because, look, and you and I are in agreement on this. You know, if he wouldn't have stayed home out of frustration over his role, which wasn't, like, again, he'd played more snaps than any other wide receiver. His targets were 20 after four games. Wicks and Reed had 22, so it's not like there was a big disparity. I still will never understand what Romeo Doubs was thinking and why he didn't have anyone in his circle to tell him, dude, go to work. Don't do this. But, you know, watching him in camp with the big, you know, great Gazoo helmet to try and protect from the concussions, he looks good. You know, him and Love have been on the same page. He had a great catch on a back shoulder ball. He snatched a ball on Saturday night that I don't know how he caught it. He's really good on third down. Like, if he doesn't do that, he probably gets an extension the way Zach Tom did, and it's a little bit below market because they pay him like a two because they've got other guys, and instead he's got an uncertain future, but he's had a really good camp through my lens as well. So, you've got him. You got Reed, who still has an important role. They had a two-minute drill one day while you were gone where Love threw, I think, five passes, and four of them were to Reed.
Hmm.
And they went down, matriculated down the field for a touchdown. So when you do have other pieces, how do you see Matthew Golden's season unspooling?
I think he has an opportunity by the middle portion of the season to be the number one guy. And it's partially because I think Green Bay wants him to be that, but I think from you're talking speed, and if he's as velvety and as smooth as you're leading on Greg Jennings-esque, Greg Jennings was our number one target, really probably from 09 till 12.
Well, did he become that kind of in 06
he was,
already as a rookie?
I think
during
Brett,
the last half
I
of
think
the year?
Brett trusted and looked at him on big plays a lot. Was he number one? I don't know if I'd go that far. But he won't be the number one immediately, but I think you could see him earning more and more opportunities. And that was kind of what I thought, you know, by November, if he emerges and continues on the kind of the track he is, you can't teach 4.2 speed. Can't teach it. You can get guys faster, but that is elite. And you put that in along with good route running and strong hands and the work ethic and all of those things, you're going to earn more and more opportunities to be that number one guy. And Romeo can be great. Jaden Reed can be great. This kid will have the opportunities to overtake it and be the number one guy.
So Greg Jennings was a rookie in 2006. Donald Driver was the clear-cut number one receiver. He caught 92 passes for 1,295 yards and 8 touchdowns that year. Greg Jennings, who missed the final game in Chicago for the birth of his first child, had 45 catches, 632 yards, and 3 touchdowns his rookie year. More or less, like you might do on Prize Picks, for Matthew Golden's final numbers this year?
More.
Okay. So the second year, well, then.
He's got 2 more games.
Right.
I don't know where his, if he's having.
I don't know. But you don't know how a season's going to go.
Sure.
So by 07, the gap was closed. Driver was still the leading receiver. He had 82 receptions for 1,048 yards, but only 2 touchdowns. Greg Jennings, who I think you remember vividly having the touchdown in overtime in Denver that year. 53.
Fake 93, I think, X-Go, something like that.
He only had 53 catches, but it was for 920 yards and 12 touchdowns in year two. Yeah. And that was also the rookie year for James Jones when he came in and had 47 receptions. So, you know, 08 was obviously wonky, but Greg Jennings became the number one wide receiver that year.
Yeah.
80 catches, 1,292 yards, 9 touchdowns. My point is that even if he's not the leading receiver this year,
I think what you'll see is less opportunities early, earn, got to keep him on the field. And by the end of the year, I think you're going to see maybe it's going to be more 1A, 1B, with if it's going to be Dobbs or whoever it's going to be. But you're going to see someone that they want to find ways to get the football. How that all shakes out, whether it's going to be jet sweeps or whatever else, you're going to look to see how can we get the ball into his hands, because great things happen when we do it.
Well, I have been impressed with him. And not that you don't expect to be impressed by the first-round pick, obviously, but if you thought, well, it's going to take him a little bit. Look, there was a moment at the end of family night where LaFleur, you saw it on the TV broadcast, pulled Love aside, and was explaining to Golden on a sideline pattern in the two-minute drill what they want, because he hadn't run the route correctly. It was a teachable moment. There's going to be a bunch of those, but that doesn't preclude him from being ultra-productive as a rookie either, right?
That's baked into the cake, that you're going to have things you need to go over and fine-tune, and you just want to see that he's learning and understanding and growing and not making the same mistake twice. And that just breeds more and more confidence for you as a staff that you have the right guy. And again, it's an early sample. I'm sure we'll see him in some preseason games. You just want to see him flash. You don't need him to be super consistent right now. You want to see flashes of whoa, and then you earn those opportunities to become that consistent one or two throughout the course of this season.
All right, we need to play trivia, but before we can play trivia, we have to crown last week's winner of the Vortex Golf Swag Bag Prize Pack.
Last one.
So Hunter, who is live in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, has been entrusted with the cheese fry helmet.
This is big.
And he is going to pick last week's winner. Hunter, are you ready?
I am ready. I've got the cheese fry helmet, shaking it up.
Last Vortex swag bag.
And last week's winner is John in Lake Geneva.
Good win for John.
Congratulations.
First
to John.
Time contestant, if I remember correctly.
If I remember correctly, he didn't get a lot of questions right either, and he still won. So good for
him.
Hey, everybody wins. All you need is one. All right, Jesse, what's today's category? What color would you like Hunter to take today?
It is the sports weekend recap. It's Monday, so we are recapping what happened over a fun weekend in sports. Hunter, what color would you like to take? I want to give it to you, buddy. What do you got?
Boy, did that sound condescending and inauthentic.
Yeah,
no,
it kind of
I want to give it to you, buddy.
Everyone always critiques me for picking
I want to give it to you,
not, so
buddy.
I'm like, Hunter, pick.
It's there funny you go, say buddy. Picking a big number because I wanted to go a smaller number. Since we were talking, Matthew so Goldney wears does. Number 22. 2 + 2 = 4. Let's go caller number 4.
That's lame.
Instead of number 22.
Yeah, I don't want to take 22.
Caller 4 right now. Boy, Jesse really has taught you well. Caller 4 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 4 right now plays trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So it's interesting. I don't know if you guys have your iPhones functioning this way, but you get kind of a preview of the text. You don't necessarily get the entire text all the time, especially if you do what Hunter did, which was create space in between the first portion of the second.
Little tease.
And it says JJ and Dodgeville, and I'm like, I could have sworn we had a JJ and Dodgeville last week.
Same
for
one,
trivia.
Probably.
And then I'm thinking, well, maybe this is an old text. I'm looking at the wrong text. No. It's the right text. He's back. Time now for trivia. He was Tuesday's contestant. He did not win the drawing moments ago, so he's eligible to play again.
He's playing for a different prize pack this week.
Indeed he is, but you're not telling us any details about the prize pack.
This is just an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack this week. We're back to the ESPN Wisconsin prize pack, but a new partnership coming soon for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Excited to reveal that in the coming weeks.
JJ, do you still want to play, even though... the prize pack isn't, it's just an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack.
You know.
Good, we appreciate you
playing. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Good.
I want to tell Tausch, my middle name is Mark, and I have a brother named Mark.
Oh, it's coming back. It's coming back.
JJ, how old are you?
66.
Okay, how old is your brother?
I'd probably be like 54.
54. Yeah, right in the heyday of Mark's. Great, perfect. Yeah. All right. So we've got a Mark and a JJ on the show too. That's perfect. By the way, real quickly before we get to JJ, I was talking to Jaden Reed, and his nickname is Bird. And I said, Jaden, I have to know because one of our frequent callers to my show with Tausch started calling me Jaybird for a while. Did you start out as Jaybird and then they shortened it to Bird? And that's exactly what happened. He was Jaybird growing up, and now in the locker room they just call him Bird. So they dropped the J.
All right.
You didn't seem that interested, actually.
Scuba Chad strikes again.
You're wearing your sand-covered, coffee-covered sunglasses.
It is interesting.
I couldn't see how interested
you
were.
No, it's very interesting.
All right, JJ, speaking of interesting, here are the questions for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Question number one,
sir.
So
are you implying that he's a Jaybird?
Yeah, we're both Jaybirds. It's a bonding moment between
me. No, I'm talking about our caller, JJ.
No, it was just we were talking about names.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know it's hard to
find. Nobody cuts a J. You need to have more J's.
I couldn't agree more. Next time you play next week when you don't win the prize pack this week, you can be Triple J.
Triple J.
From Dodgeville.
Yeah.
All right.
Today
you're only JJ. Your question number one is this. On which streaming platform was Friday night's Brewers Nationals game televised when Pat Murphy gave Trisha Whitaker his pocket pancake? Was that on Apple TV or Disney Plus or Peacock, where you can stream The 60-Yard Line and other great movies, including Wicked and other shows? Apple TV, Disney
Apple
Plus.
TV.
Apple TV.
Yes,
sir. One for one. JJ, question number two is this. Which NASCAR venue played host to a debacle of a baseball game this weekend between the Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds? Was it Talladega Super Speedway, Bristol Motor Speedway, or Charlotte Motor Speedway?
Bristol.
It was. Jesse, catch me up on this. I saw the story leading into it.
Why was it a debacle?
That they were playing it in a race course.
Yep.
Why was it a debacle?
All right, so 2.5-hour rain delay on Saturday night, so they didn't start till 8:40 Central Time. It was originally a 6:15.
Nationally televised?
Nationally
to show
televised
off the...
on five. It was the only game, so they couldn't even go to a different game. Apparently, they were not properly prepared at Bristol Motor Speedway. Many patrons saying they were getting bunless hot dogs. By the time the game started,
carnivore diet.
Only peanuts were available. There were nachos.
Shelled or not shelled?
Shelled. Nachos with no cheese.
Oh, that's not good. You got to have jalapenos with your nachos. Okay.
Horrible sight lines for where you were sitting.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah, like they built the stadium and they built like a press box and everything, but then they had people sitting behind that. So you couldn't see the
media
pitch
starts
coming
with
home
me.
Plate.
Yeah, it's important.
And then it got rained out. So they played one inning in a monsoon. Then they decided, let's call it quits. No one was communicating right. All of a sudden, the Fox broadcast found out with everyone when the guy came on and said, yeah, we're going to play at noon tomorrow. It was.
So then they came back. People had to come back.
Yeah. So
hopefully they had.
They
more
ended
bunts.
Up drawing like 90,000 still into it. It was so that was they still success I suppose.
Yeah, but. You're going to that for the gimmick of it. You're not going because
correct.
You think you're going to end up with. A beer in one hand and
a swirly in the other.
The
swirly?
Yeah.
MLB version of Fire Festival is what some of the news stories were calling
it. It's actually a pretty good line. All right. JJ, did you get the rundown there sufficiently on what occurred at Bristol?
Yeah, it was a muddy mess.
I think JJ took a nap
he
while
did.
Jesse was telling that.
Well, Jason asked.
Question three is
fair.
This.
Stands for Triple J.
Culminating a celebrated 30-year run, which golf commentator signed off from his final CBS broadcast on Sunday afternoon? Was it Jim Nance, hello friends, David Faraday, or Ian Baker Finch?
Jim Nance.
He's going to hang on a while.
The correct answer, Ian Baker Finch. Did
30
you know
years.
That?
I knew it wasn't Jim Nance because Jim Nance is going to 50 years of Augusta. Like he's covering Augusta 50. So I think he's retiring in 2036. Ian Baker Finch, long run for Ian. If I was a golfer, I think I'd want to be Ian.
Australia.
What a great name.
Ian,
be a good name. Ian Woosnam.
That's a good one.
Augusta champion. Ian Woosnam.
All right, JJ, thanks for making sure we don't have to worry about a perfect week. You got 2 out of 3. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing, and maybe you'll win that ESPN Wisconsin prize pack, which is a placeholder for our new prize packs, which will be just debuting the following week.
Not to diminish the value of the ESPN Wisconsin prize pack.
Kind of sounds like you're diminishing it.
That's pretty good, too. But
it kind of sounds like you're diminishing it a little bit.
Maybe a little. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, JJ. We appreciate
I'm
you.
I'm real excited.
Yeah, I can tell. Yes.
That's the spirit.
Good. We appreciate your
Triple
excitement.
J.
All right. That is Will Dietouche trivia.
I love you guys.
JJ. You guys. Yeah. Nicely done. All right. We need to get to Whoa Nelly.
Did you miss Whoa Nelly? When
you I did. Around? I always liked
Whoa
Nelly.
Yes, he was wandering through the sand dunes thinking, God, I miss Whoa Nelly.
No, I didn't. But now that I'm here, I'm excited for Whoa
Nelly. I hope it lives up to your expectations.
I'm sure it will.
I doubt it will. Whoa Nelly is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I hope someday we'll sit down together.
Tausch wanted it. Tausch gets it. Time now for Woe Nelly.
Topic is good. The guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch, when you left, the Brewers had just become the best team in baseball in Seattle, having won 11 straight, not 12.
Yep.
They lost the Tuesday night game in Seattle to end the streak, and no George Webbs for everyone. They won on Wednesday afternoon, and you
left. Do you think it was fair that Strofe and the boys got called out on that?
Yes.
Totally
yep.
fair.
All right,
yep,
fair.
Totally
okay.
fair.
We're all on the same page.
Also, turns out George Webbs does not have ice cream. I looked it up.
Oh.
So no, I got a milkshake?
No, not on their menu online.
All right.
Well, anyway, and they didn't have to give away free burgers either.
You're back, and the Brewers are still the best team in baseball.
Have they won 11 in a row?
They have not, but they are 2 up on the Chicago Cubs for the top
Big
spot.
Birdie on 8. Nice job. Big birdie on 9. Yes, sir. All right.
2 up on the Cubs in the NL Central standings. Best record in the National League. Best record in the sport here on August 4th, 2025. The Miz is on the injured list. Jackson Churio's on the injured list. No big deal. The scrub lineup put up 25 hits on Friday night on Apple
56
TV.
Hits in 3 56 games.
56 hits in 3 games, a franchise record. The Brewers sweep the Washington Nationals. They move on to play the Atlanta Braves tonight.
Yep.
Your thoughts on where the Brewers stand here on August 4th?
I don't think any of us anticipated it. I know you wanted to fire the manager about middle of May. It's just awesome. This is a fun team. Now, you know, I know the trade deadline passed, and I think there are some folks that were, you know, disappointed. I think you can be disappointed that there wasn't a big splash move made by Matt Arnold. But it, just enjoy this, man. This is fun. This is a fun team. I don't think I've been more engaged in Brewer baseball. I legit looked at this Airbnb and tried to find a way to watch the game. And do you know they have this thing on YouTube that they simulate games and you can watch it like it's a video game? That's their way around the copywriting?
No. What?
I didn't know it. I'm not going to reveal my sources. Someone younger in my family. It's like, oh, yeah. So you can.
So they're like cartoon.
Yes.
Like avatars?
It basically is like a Nintendo game that they're simulating what happened during the actual game and putting it on the YT. Huh?
For old T.
Isn't that just ESPN Gamecast?
I feel like that should be illegal. Like, maybe it is.
It probably. Was there commentary?
I don't know about that. Don't think
so. You're not real big on details.
No, I love dazzling details, but I don't. So anyways, I think we should be excited about it. You know, are we going to continue? I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on my way over here. Are they going to win 70% of their games the rest of the way? No. Is what's old boy's name that they got for Savale from the White Sox?
Andrew Vaughn.
Vaughny, is he going to be like the killer that
he's,
he is?
I don't know. Hitting at a Barry Bonds
clip. He's crushing it.
Yeah.
So is all of that going to hold up? The odds would say no, but the key is win the division. Get it so you're not like stuck in one of those play-in deals and let your pitching eat and have Miz ready. I think it's just been a really fun team and a fun summer to be a Brewers fan. So I'd say enjoy it. Don't get all paranoid and caught up in it. We'll have plenty of time to be paranoid when we start talking about expectations when we get to the end of September.
Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
When are you going to catch Brewers fever?
I'm not a fan.
Oh.
I was actually
You're
watching.
You're a ventriloquist now.
It's amazing. Willie Tyler and Lester.
I have to write my story for Channel 3000. There's a backup
Whoa,
left guard.
Whoa, Nelly!
There's a backup left guard. I think he's got a good chance to maybe make the practice squad.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
I thought I was talking to Jason.
I actually...
Did you notice I was doing the You could, if you're on the video, you couldn't even see. I was...
Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly!
I was actually watching the Apple TV Plus telecast with Trisha.
How is
Whitaker,
it? Is it good? They do a good job.
They do a good job.
They do a good job. And Trisha was in Green Bay with us at WBAY early in her career, and the pocket pancake went viral.
Yep.
I saw it happen. I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be something.
Wasn't he trying to talk pancakes with us, too, and we called him out on it? Like there was a quote somebody made. Maybe it was
Rudy?
No, it was Marcus Johnson. He's talking about pancakes.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself,
Marcus
what the
Johnson.
That makes
yesterday's
sense.
Pancakes.
Yeah. Don't get full on yesterday's pancakes.
That was actually very good.
I actually think pancakes are one of the best microwavable foods.
Well, here, so this segues into my next question. Pocket pancake was prevalent, and as you said, it went viral over the weekend, Jason. Have you ever eaten anything out of your pocket?
What, gum?
No, I mean like the way Pat Murphy. I have a friend. We were up north once, and there was.
Up north, Joe?
It wasn't
up north, friend.
Joe. No. There was I actually don't remember which one of us it was, but there
hopefully
was.
Hopefully, it wasn't a salami from the
there
sausage.
There was one
raffle.
Leftover chicken tender, and instead of asking for a box, and the service was a little
he
slow,
shoved
then,
it
then,
in his
just take the chicken tender,
napkin around
it.
Like it.
The, yeah, put it
yeah.
in the napkin. Put it in the sweatshirt
sure.
pocket. You walk, and you know, 20 minutes later, pocket
yeah.
chicken. And boom, there
pocket
you go.
Pocket chicken.
So, have you ever put any straight food in your pocket,
completely uncovered?
Or in only a napkin. Let's say only
nope.
a napkin.
Nope. Never have.
I'm pretty sure I have. Like, not ice cream, but I'm pretty
no,
sure.
No, not ice cream. Yeah. You get like a – I had a sandwich from a McPopular restaurant chain that I
– McPopular?
Yeah, I ate like half of it one time. We were walking. So it was when I was in college. I was visiting Madison for a football game, and I ate half of it. I'm like, I don't want the rest of this right now. I just kind of put it in the sweatshirt pocket and – showed up 2 hours later. Oh yeah, I finished it.
Sweatshirt like the like kangaroo
the pouch,
in
yeah,
the front.
The pouch in the front. Yeah.
I think that would be different than putting it in your back pocket and sitting on it,
yes.
or even in your side pocket.
Obviously,
of your pants.
Yeah.
So I'd I'm gonna allow it. Whoa, Nelly.
Okay.
Whoa, Nelly.
I have yet to bring this up,
but you're going to now.
We are dog sitting.
For the same dude?
No, different. This is for my brother-in-law. He's on a fishing trip with
Becca's brother.
Becca's brother.
Okay.
Okay.
So we are watching two extra dogs for 7 days. We picked them up on Thursday night.
Okay.
We also.
I feel like if they're dog, they should have brought the dogs to your house.
Well, we went to go pick them up on Thursday night.
Where do they live? Give me the exact address.
Near Appleton.
Okay.
So it was not a short drive. And then we got 20 minutes heading home, and we realized we forgot. We were also then assigned to pick up a new phone for our sister-in-law who lives down in this area. So we had to go back 20
Sounds
minutes
like you had
to
a lot
get
of
the
work
phone
to do.
And then come back. What are you doing?
Trying to make you uncomfortable.
So we didn't get home with the dogs till like 11 o'clock on Thursday.
Why is he not bringing the dogs to you?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
He had to work and pack and leave for their
You
trip.
Have a job. You're doing him a seven-day favor.
Beck and I got to go. We went to one of our favorite Italian restaurants in Appleton on Thursday.
Oh, is it a calzone place?
They have calzones.
Oh, is it called Stuck's?
It is not.
Oh, interesting.
Do the Stuck's have ice cream?
I'm sure they do.
Anyway.
Jason, am I crazy to think that old boy should be dropping his dogs off down at Jesse's house?
I don't know what they had going on before their trip, but yes, that would have been nice of them to do.
Okay.
If they're leaving you with their dogs
for seven days.
Yeah. Lambo and Jordy are the names of the dogs.
That's
Backpackers'
cute.
Names. Lambo and Jordy.
Okay.
Any tips, Jason, for watching three dogs at once? We've never done it before.
Yeah, give them plenty of attention.
Well, they're getting
How's Mo handling it? Is Mo being territorial?
Mo, I think, has some traits similar to me. Mo is better as an only dog than as a sibling
Mo.
Dog. So, Mo, last night, we're sitting watching TV in our base where we have a nice big couch. Lambo and Jordy
I've
come
seen
up.
It. I've
they're,
visited.
They're coming. They're nestling
up. Did you sleep over
us.
There?
I did sleep over there.
Would you ever sleep over at Jesse's house?
No.
Under no circumstances.
There is a situation.
What would the situation be?
Tornado.
The restaurant?
No. He is leaving Madison, and there's a tornado.
If I got a free meal at Tornado, I might, actually. I don't know about the actual weather event. Look, I really like Mo. Mm-hmm. I really like Becca. She's very nice. So,
Lambo and Jordy came up by us on the couch. They were all ready to snuggle and settle
Mo's
in for the
irritated.
Night. Mo went into the spare bedroom, and he laid on the bed in the
Did
spare
Did he
slam bedroom,
the door?
He didn't slam the door, but he wanted to go be by himself.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have decision time coming up. I have put off for years getting a dog, and I told Eleanor a ways back because Max is hockey season now. It's going to be condensed. It's not the same juggernaut it's been. He's going into high school, so it's going to be less. we're not going to be traveling as much. And D-Day was after this trip.
Oh, boy.
So I'm still on board with not getting one.
Oh, boy.
So maybe
you're the lone holdout, though, aren't you?
It's going to be tough, yeah. So that's just another thing to continue to monitor.
What would you name your dog?
Oostberg? Great question.
No. Oh, boy.
Oostberg. I don't know what. I
better start working on it because it's coming.
I don't. What I would do is get it down to, and I tried to do this with my brother's dog when they got one, and we are not a dog family, you know, really,
right?
Ever, and I wanted him to let our audience name the dog.
Well,
I said, give us no.
Yeah,
I said, give us three names.
Of the show.
Craig is a yes. Craig and Pat are both big parts
they're
of the
big,
show.
Well,
he,
Pat was never going to do that. Pat was
right.
He was never going
to
do that. Craig never was going to either, but I at least broached it with him and said, hey, you get us three names that you like, that you can live with, and let our audience pick.
Vote, yeah.
And his wife said no.
Good decision by her. All right, that is it for
you know, I'll probably name it Pickler. I'll name my dog Pickler.
Yeah? Yep.
That's a terrible idea. Great place to play pickleball, though. Not a great dog.
Have you been over there yet?
I have been over there, yes.
Just recently?
No. Busy. It's training camp. It's
heard there's a new location.
I've got
busy. New. Damn it! They don't have practice. You don't even get access. What the heck are you talking about?
We've had
two straight days. You got nothing.
Yeah. We've had lots of access until these last 2 days. And by the way, Luke Musgrave giving an unprompted testimonial. What a great facility it is.
Oh, Luke and Tucker.
Yeah. Well, they played each other.
These are my they're my two new favorite tight ends.
We need to wrap things up. And we're going to wrap things up with our friends from Mentoring Positives, who are part of our ESPN Madison
There's
Open
Bucky.
Here.
There's Bucky on a golf cart.
Hold on tight, Bucky. Hold
out.
On loosely, but don't let go.
Watch out on three.
We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
The ESPN Madison Open at TPC Wisconsin is in full swing. See what I did?
Good one. That's pretty good. Can you get two more puns in before the show ends?
And you've heard me mention Mentoring Positives, who we're partnering with for this event. And you put a basketball in the logo, and it's going to get my attention. And we're joined by Executive Director Will Green to tell us a little bit about what you guys do at Mentoring Positives, because it's a great cause. We're excited to be a small part of it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, fellas. Will Green, Executive Director of Mentoring Positive, started about 21 years ago. We're on the east side of Madison in the Darbar-Worthington Park neighborhood. We mentor youth. We steer them away from the juvenile justice system, trying to do pro-social, emotional things with the kids. So I use enrichment programming. I use basketball. It got me off the streets of Gary, Indiana. Go play ball at UW Eau Claire. So I use basketball as a hook. I use food as a hook. We got a new restaurant that's in the old Ellis Deli on East Wall. So it's a restaurant open 2 years. We do culinary in the space. You know, I got a new kitchen manager in there that's helping us with the pizza and salsa. So the kids produce the pizza and salsa themselves.
So we've got a pizza here. I've been hearing rave reviews about the salsa. But help me understand. It's one thing to have good food, right? That's great. But the process that it does for these kids, why did you think that sports and culinary arts were the path that would really engage them?
For sure. I just think I think about the kids, man. I think about things that they might like. It may be music. It may be food. Mm-hmm. It may be basketball. I get a lot of young men that think they're going to the NBA. Mm. I tell them you got a better chance of being a doctor or a lawyer. Really.
Right.
Really, it really is. You know what I mean? I don't crush their dreams because I've seen it.
Sure. Have a backup plan.
Yeah, come on, man. And so food is that thing. And really, again, these are just the hooks, right? Once we get them there, we talk about the social emotion. We talk about not having a father. We talk about good, positive relationships, how to be a good person. That's what I really want, because I think that's the main ingredient to anything that we want to get out of, because the youth are our future.
And that's why sports are great. Because it gives you all those different avenues, and you being a former player and passing that along and help it is something that unifies communities, but it also gives a passion and a purpose to a lot of kids that need it.
For sure. Teamwork, team building, you know, strategizing how to execute the plan, all that. My coach from Gary, Indiana, he was great because he taught us that basketball was life. Life is basketball. And so I really translated that into all the things we do. And that's why I made the logo, because it gave me a lot of opportunity to see outside of Gary, Indiana. There was a lot of more opportunities out here. And I think networking and making connections for kids, that's really important. I think they need to understand that. And we give the kids an opportunity to be who they are. We meet the kids where they are, you know what I mean? Because a lot of the kids sometimes I deal with struggle in school, struggle in life, and we all do. I don't care how good your life is. We all have those moments. So it's important for us adults to create the stage for the kids to display their talents.
Well, so now I know two great basketball players out of Gary, Indiana, Glenn Robinson and Will Green. Did you guys ever come – did you ever cross paths?
I tell you what, I was a senior. He was probably a sophomore when Gene Katie was coming down checking him out. But I probably got an old article with us in that article in the paper. Not saying that we were together, but I have some articles that he was in the paper. I was probably in the paper.
It's a pretty good tussles with Bo Ryan from your days at Eau Claire.
Sure. No, I'll never – Eau Claire was a good time, man. And Bo Ryan, we had some battles, Ernie Peavy, TJ Van Wee, those were some good battles. I think people forget how tough that league was. But I was Eau Claire's two-time MVP, man, 91 and 93, so it was a fun time.
What happened in 92?
Man, 92.
I could have told you that was going
to
happen.
Man, 91 to 93, man. I was two-time MVP, man, but I have fond memories of that. We're going up there next week. You know, for the golf outing, the alumni, it's always good to see the old players. But, and Coach Anderson, man, so he's a legend, no doubt about it. He just called me last week, man, so he always had a fond relationship with him. He allows me to stay at his house sometimes when I get back to Eau Claire, so it's good to
well, Jesse's also renting out his basement apparently now, so if you
he's got 17 dogs you have to watch. That's the only proud dog.
Well, if people want to either volunteer to help or just to help monetarily, what can they do to get involved with Mentoring Positives?
Yeah, man, you just really can go to our website. That's a space. Our Facebook page, Mentoring Positives, and our website, mentoringpositives.org. You can donate or you can reach out to us if you want to help volunteer. We always have people come and help in the kitchen, making these pizzas. When people buy our products, man, you help in the community because it helps the kid. It helps get the product out the door, and then the kids got to do some more work, keep them productive.
Love it. That is awesome.
It's a win-win, man. A great cause never tastes so good.
I love it.
Well, Jesse ate half the pizza, so we'll maybe see if we can't get a scrap before we go.
Well, thanks for joining us, and it's great to have you be part of our event today. Thanks so much.
Man, thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate it.
That's it for Wildy and Tausch today. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.